everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster, along with Ed Alexander. Ed is producing and engineering today's show. He's on the other side of the glass, but we see his smiling face here for all of us in the studio. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Monday. It's the second day of February 2015. We're coming to you live from AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice. We live stream our show at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com, and the podcast is available usually about an hour after the show concludes, so it's up by mid-afternoon at buckmastershow.com. There are links to our show on several media outlets, including our newest media partner, Tucson Lifestyle Magazine. We begin this Monday afternoon, as we do each Monday afternoon, with our Monday political face-off. And then after the face-off, once a month, we are honored to have General John Wickham with us, the former U.S. Army Chief of Staff. He'll be on about 12:30 or so. The Buckmaster Live line is 790-2040, and our Facebook page is Bill Buckmaster. The Monday Political Face-Off features today commentator is John Munger. John is a longtime Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents. In 2010, he ran as a Republican candidate for Arizona governor. And attorney Vince Robigo is with us. Vince also is a very longtime Democrat Party activist and former Arizona Attorney General candidate. Vince ran also in 2010. The Monday Political Face-Off is sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe specializes in custom frame mirrors. I have some in my home. Art for your walls. I have some art from Moe's as well. Picture framing, a lot of that at Done by Moe. And they have still that first ever inventory sale up to 25% off. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and on Facebook, and of course, Moe'sGallery.com. John and Vince, how are you guys today?
Great day. Wonderful weekend. All that rain was great.
Well, I'm a little disturbed. I was pulling for Seattle, and just for whatever reason, just not a big New England Patriots fan. I just was hoping Seattle would pull it out. The catch before the dumb call that Pete Carroll made was the most amazing catch I think I have ever seen.
Oh, that was phenomenal. Football. I've never seen anything like that. It was just a phenomenal catch.
I mean, it was great. My 10-year-old son, about a week before that, was telling me, you know, that's still, you know, about that kind of scenario exactly, saying, you know, that's still a lawful catch. As long as they're on the ground and it hasn't touched the ground, a receiver can catch lying down on his back and pick it up and run with it.
Because the ball's still in play.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. And I was amazed to see it actually happen at the Super Bowl. What an amazing game, right down to the wire.
So after that, then you had Seattle has that great running back who can.
Oh, Marshawn Lynch.
There you go.
He's the beast. So, I love the guy.
You know, give the ball to him, and when you got a first down, you got four downs, just keep giving it to him. Well, he's going to get in.
He had two or three plays left. I mean, it was he just picked up 5 yards on the
yeah.
prior play.
Right.
He clearly, it was a half yard he had to get. It was just incredibly bad call. Everybody knows it. It's too bad that such a great game was resolved on that kind of poor play calling. It's really too bad. It kind of ruined the game.
And, you know, Vince, Pete Carroll's had such a great career, but unfortunately, it's kind of like anything. It's like show business. People say, you know, you're only as good as your last performance. In our business, it's something I've always tried to remember. Every time I get behind the microphone, I always want to, if it's my last show, I want to make sure it's a good show. So Pete will be remembered, unfortunately, for certainly until that's going to be a long off season, but he'll be remembered for this.
Yes, it was not a good call. But, you know, I still think it was a great game. I don't think it ruined the game. I think it was just a bad call by one team, and it was exciting right down to the end. I didn't have a horse in this race, but it was a great game of football down to the end.
It was truly a great game.
Better than seeing a big blowout, and so it was good to see that.
Before we talk a little bit local about Arizona revenue, Mitt Romney made a big decision, John, on Friday. He's not going to go for the big prize again.
Right. I'm glad he's out. And, you know, we need to have somebody, as he said, we need to have somebody new. The concepts of the Bushes running against the Clintons. This country needs to get past that on both sides. Mitt's had his chance. And he can't, you know, he was saying, well, I'll change my strategy. You know, he's had his opportunities, and we need to look at some new people. I'm very excited that there are people. I'm particularly excited about Scott Walker. I'm excited about Marco Rubio. We've got some great candidates. There are a lot of candidates on our side. I don't think Jeb Bush is going anywhere. I just don't see it. I don't think he can win a primary in Iowa. And he's got to win two out of the three of the first three primaries. I don't think he can win Iowa, and I don't think he can win South Carolina. I don't know if he could win New Hampshire. I don't think Jeb Bush is going anywhere.
So he's got a big name, but not going anywhere in Europe.
Well, he's just, yeah.
All right.
Vince. It's just another Bush.
Vince?
Well, I think what was happening behind the scenes, and this is unfortunate for both sides of the aisle, Democratic and Republican. I think it was not only a result of what John is saying, but it's the way that presidential politics has come to be. It's about the money. And in this particular case, the big donors had enough of Mitt. And so that's really the issue. He tried to lock him by announcing previously that he was very interested in coming out. He was trying to slow anybody from getting to his donors, getting to that big pool of money. And so I think it, you know, certainly the rank and file folks like folks that are sort of diehard activists that are involved in the structure like John of any party, they have their views, and that impacts also on who's going to, you know, run in any particular race. But the impact of money on American politics in today's day and age cannot be understated, particularly when you're talking about presidential politics.
And I think that's true. But I do think that both ideas and money are important.
Sure.
And I think that the nice thing about what's happening in the Republican Party is that we have some candidates out there who would really be acceptable to all the different wings of the Republican Party. I've mentioned a couple of them, and there are others. But I think that there are we're going to see some primaries on the Republican side that are very, very interesting as people begin to look at new candidates. They just had the big debates up in Iowa amongst the Republican candidates, and Scott Walker came way out on top of that at 15%. He was at the top of, I guess, five or six or eight candidates. Jeb Bush came in at 9%, he was like fourth or fifth down the line. So that would be very interesting.
Be an interesting battle between Walker and Hillary because of Walker. Some on the Democratic side, probably a lot on the Democratic side, would say he's against unions.
Well, I think that's it. There's no question that he's against the
working
man
and into
union busting and was put substantial effort and time into that in doing that in his state. What's ironic to me is when you step back for a minute, I mean, there's good about any organization in the world, whatever you're talking about, the Democratic Party or the Republican Party, there's going to be things you can say, oh, they don't do this right, or oh, this is a negative effect. And so at the end of the day, though, people need to step back when you're talking about labor and what they've done for the American people, whether it's pushing for safer working conditions, pushing for livable working conditions, better hours, the weekend, for example, what brought you the weekend, and to point out, for example, every single player on the field yesterday was a member of an organized union. So you have to think about that. Obviously, they're very high paid. They're not your average workers out there in the bigger sense, but collective mobilization to make sure that the little person, the little guy, the woman, the man who is working to make ends meet. It's about fair conditions and equitable conditions. And so if he's going to be the candidate, if he comes out being the candidate, it's going to be a very big both philosophical battle in terms of ideas and in terms of where we stand as a people to work towards something that's fair and equitable for all Americans and have the opportunity to achieve and expand and go beyond your circumstances, or the idea that we have to tear this down and just use the labor movement as a pariah.
Well, I think that it's more accurate to say that Scott Walker has gone head to head with the public employees unions. He's never gone head to head with the private sector unions. Probably like me, I'm supportive of private sector unions where they want to exist. I think people have a right to associate. I believe in the right to work laws, but in the context of a right to work state like Arizona, if people want to associate, that's fine. And I don't have a problem with that in the private sector. I have a problem with it, and Scott Walker has a problem with it in the public sector, because the public sector unions, even Franklin Delano Roosevelt said there shouldn't be public sector unions, that they're way too powerful. They present they finance the campaigns of the very people, the government officials, who agree to their contracts. And that's a very dangerous thing to have happen. That's why FDR was against public employee unions. Even Scott Walker isn't against the unions. He says unions are fine, but they shouldn't be collectively bargaining for their pay with the officials that they turn around as a union and support and elect. That's a conflict of interest, and I think it's really a form of crony capitalism. Mm-hmm. And I think we've got to root out crony capitalism both on the corporate side and on the union side in the future.
Vince, well, quick comment. Before
quick
I
comment. Take a break. Well, it certainly isn't going to be an issue in Arizona, nor has it been, because that's not the situation here.
That's right.
And but yet, you still hear a lot of that same rhetoric attacking public employee unions in Arizona from the GOP side. So I can't match the rhetoric to the reality here. But you still see those attacks. So whatever, when John sounds responsible here, you don't see that on the political level. In Arizona politics, where public unions and teacher unions are being made the pariah and the scapegoat, and
well,
they are attacking them.
I think teachers,
and they don't have that.
I think teachers unions are responsible for a large part of the dysfunctionality of.
Here we go.
Of our public school system.
We have to take a break right here.
So I mean, I think they're responsible for that, a large part of that.
It's 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our first break. It is the Monday Political Face-Off. Be right back.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Did you know that Goodwill of Southern Arizona spends 90 cents of every dollar supporting 5 youth programs, 5 adult programs, and over 500 full-time jobs? When you donate and shop with Goodwill, you strengthen our community by empowering children, adults, and people with barriers to employment. Friendly employees are ready to assist you with your donations at over 40 locations across Southern Arizona. Drop-off locations and more information are available at goodwillsouthernaz.org.
The Regional Transportation Authority has completed more than 570 projects to date. Our projects range from new roadway lanes to new transit services, plus new sidewalks and bike lanes. The Regional Transportation Authority also funds crosswalks for added pedestrian safety and new signal technology to keep people and goods moving. We're improving safety and regional mobility for you. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
honey. Welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Hi, wouldn't you like a voice like mine talking about your business? Saying things like, thank you for calling, or press 1 for hours and directions. Well, it can. Cox Business offers Voice Manager, allowing you to get a professional voice to record your voicemail greeting. And with my voice, you'll need to warn whoever manages your lead gen data, because your customer base is about to expand. If you don't like my voice...
There's always mine.
Thank you for calling. All our customers are important to us. How do you like that?
I think mine might be more appropriate.
You don't know that.
I can do fancy accents.
As good as this.
Make a great impression before you answer the phone. Cox Business Internet and Voice Manager is only $84 a month for the first 6 months with a 3-year agreement. Plus, get a $150 Visa prepaid card after online redemption. Bundle and save today. Visit coxbusiness.com. Ends 5/3/15. Includes Cox Business Internet 10 and Voice Manager Essential. Excludes taxes and fees. Visit coxbusiness.com for details. Actual speeds vary. Other restrictions apply.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Vince Robigo and John Munger are commentators today. It's brought to you by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. John is on the Buckmaster Show live line at 790-2040. He's been waiting very patiently. Go ahead, John.
Hi. Thanks very much, Bill. I was listening to the discussion about public unions, and I've been a teacher for 40 years, and my experience with the public teachers union it was not at all positive. I taught in TUSD when they went on strike, and it was interesting. They negotiated for the contract, agreed on it in May, and then waited to go on strike until October. Because it's a power struggle. My thing was, you didn't like it, you didn't, go change your job and go get paid what you want to get paid. And then the more disgusting thing was, I was told that if I didn't go on strike, my students would suffer, because they would get back at the students through me for not going on strike. So I think there's a reason why Governor Walker has some problems with it, because it's the way they use power, and it's disgusting.
Okay. Thank you, John.
I think it was interesting in that regard. Thanks, John. It was interesting to watch what happened in Wisconsin when Walker implemented his reforms. Heavy, heavy percentage of the members of the teachers union dropped out of the teachers unions when they no longer had to belong. They had been forced to belong to the teachers unions, didn't want to. My wife was a teacher, has a master's degree in English and speech disabilities, and she taught in Chicago schools and really had some run-ins with the unions before she ever knew me, before she became politically politicized, and she just really didn't like the way she was treated. People with more seniority but who slept on the job were promoted before her, and all kinds of things just because they had seniority. She doesn't like the system at all.
You know, you can, like I said, you can sit here and come up with anecdotal examples and try to bash unions all day long. And when we're talking about education, and thank you for the call, when you're talking about education, what disgusts me, what leaves me with a horrible feeling, is when you have people that are elected to be in charge of our state education system and have a constitutional obligation to raise the revenues to meet the needs, yet they fight
tooth and nail after they've been held in court to have violated the Constitution to fund our children's education system in Arizona. And so when you have the GOP leadership continuing to fight it tooth and nail after being found that they violated the law, broke the law with our children's education, and you have this underfunded system leaving our children less competitive, businesses don't want to come to the state. You want to kill an economy? That's how you do it. You defund the education system, and that's what the GOP has done in this state. And Governor Ducey, by continuing to allow the battle to go forward like this, he's just contributing to the ultimate, year by year, the eventual destruction of our economy by not taking care of our educational system. Mm-hmm. So that's what disgusts me. So if you're rather than trying to attack one labor union or another and say, oh, they did this or they abused their power, let's look at the big picture. Let's look at what's happening in the state of Arizona and why we don't have the kind of economy we deserve, why we don't have the educational system. It's because those that have been in charge for decades are refusing to fund our children's education and your future properly.
Well, there are multiple issues. One is the public unions, teachers unions in this case. There are other issues about the way money is spent in the school district. And like so many other issues, there's two sides to this one. Number one, the money that does go to our public schools largely comes, incidentally, from the school districts, not from the state. If the school districts want to add to their tax mechanism, they're certainly able to do that. But that, to the extent they want money from the state, they complain about that. But if they're not getting enough money, they can go to their own people and they have their own tax base. But the problem that the people have is that in Arizona, such a very low percentage of money is actually getting to the students. People are voting with their feet in the public schools these days, and are rapidly moving from your traditional public schools to your new type public schools, and they are public schools in the form of charter schools. Charter schools don't get any funding for bricks and mortar, whereas public schools, traditional public schools, do. And yet the charter schools are winning the battle of the feet. People are voting with their feet by moving to better school systems, and that's largely because of the inertia and the dysfunction that's built into the traditional public school system. There's a lot of issues
here
to be solved.
His head. This,
because they've been underfunding the system. And whatever John says is ignores the constitutional obligation where the courts have ruled that they have not properly funded it. And so this issue about, oh, they could go off and do their own district bonds or whatever, that's a red herring. At the end of the day, what's happening is they're underfunding it. So then this public schools that have stricter requirements that they have to comply with then are losing their share of dollars. Tax dollars that go to these charter schools, which don't have the same regulations. So then, what happens? It's an anti-competitive market. It's so all these people that want to promote this and say, oh, it's all about the market, they're actually buying into an anti-competitive market where one market actor is restrained with regulations that the others don't have, and then they underfund that particular player, the public school system, and toss your tax dollars at charter schools, which by and large, if you evaluate them, the bulk of them are not good. Yes, you have some standouts, but they're not this rosy picture that is saving
John,
Arizona.
The pot of money for schools, for both the charter schools and the traditional public schools, all comes from the same pot of money. The fact of the matter is that charter schools have been proven to use money much, much more efficiently. People, starting with the fact that charter schools survive and thrive without even having money for bricks and mortar. All they get is money for operations, and yet they compete successfully with their traditional public schools.
Okay, Roger has been waiting on the live line at 790-2040. Roger, what is your question or comment? Quickly, please.
Well, it's only 47 cents out of the dollar in TUSD going to the classroom. That should always be brought to the discussion table, whether it's right or wrong. The other thing is the head of the teachers union made the statement years ago that the teachers union will represent students when they grow up, get a job, and join union. So,
meanwhile, they represent only the teachers.
Right. The students are left out of it, and the teachers aren't even being represented because a lot of the money doesn't even end up going to the teacher. It goes to the bureaucrats running the union.
All right.
So the teachers don't even want to be part of those unions anymore. Oh. And then I have the final question.
Real quickly, Roger.
Why should people that join unions be able to bully to have more rights than those of us that aren't unions?
Okay. Okay, thanks.
Let me answer the last question first. That's because all of the workplace gets to vote. It's just a form of democracy. Second thing is, it's a bunch of baloney, with all due respect to your caller, to claim that public tax dollars are going to the unions. That is just absolutely false. I have to really take great umbrage at any person, whether it's in the public or in the public sector, whether it's an official or John on the other side of the table from me, making statements that are just not accurate.
Well, public money is going to the unions to the extent that the teachers get paid X amount of money, and then
Let me finish.
Go ahead, Vince. And then that money is paid by being compelled. The teachers are compelled, as members of a required union, to then pay into the union.
Yeah, but that we're talking about the tax dollars going to unions. Was the point, as I
ultimately
understood. And if I misunderstood the caller, my apologies. But I will never refuse to stand down from backing up people.
He's not saying the government's paying the unions.
That's what I understand.
All right.
No.
All right, we're going to have to run. Thank you very much, John and Vince. Hope you both have a great week. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com and on Facebook presents the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show. Thank you to Mo and the family there running the business since 1987. That is the place to go for all of your framing needs. We'll be right back with General John Wickham. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Rug Gallery's extensive collection of new and antique rugs has earned an international reputation and has been featured on the cover of Christie's magazine, as well as many of the world's most respected carpet and textile publications. The Rug Gallery thanks Tucson for their support over the past 27 years as the place to see fine Persian and top quality imported and antique rugs at competitive, affordable prices. With its huge selection of hand-woven rugs from around the globe, the Rug Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. The Rug Gallery is located in the Jostler Center at the northwest corner of River and Campbell, and on the web at ruggalleryaz.com. Also, look for us on Facebook. Call 571-RUGS. That's 571-7847.
Ready to do some antiquing? If you love a special one-of-a-kind object like I do, I strongly suggest Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American art, and they have the best selection in town of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, and on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Please join the UA College of Science, which celebrates the premiere of its 10th free public lecture series starting Monday, January 26th. This year's 7 lecture series topic is Life in the Universe, which explores our universe of molecular, biological, and cosmic scale to ask, what is life and how do we recognize it? Each program starts at 7 p.m. More information at cos.arizona.edu. This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday, our monthly Your Meds segment with Dr. Ray Woosley. Dr. Woosley is the former dean of the UA School of Medicine. Also, a newsmaker interview with State Representative Mark Fincham of District 11. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI The Voice, and always on BuckmasterShow.com for anywhere in the world live streaming, podcasts, and our audio archives. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. It's 12:36 on this Monday afternoon. The Buckmaster Show contributor on the military and foreign affairs is General John Wickham. General Wickham was U.S. Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the United States Army. He is now retired in Oro Valley, and he joins us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line. General, how are you?
Doing fine, Bill, and great to be with you again for your wonderful program.
Well, General, we've had a caller who's been patiently waiting now for about over 5 minutes, and he's got a pretty good question. I think we're going to get right into it, and it's about Iran and a possible Israeli strike on Iran. Go ahead, Tom. You were General Wickham.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, General. General, when Israel strikes the Iranian nuclear facilities, will Russia and the United States be drawn into a war?
That's an excellent question, because it really gets to the heart of the current debate right now. Israel, as you know, and many people know, feels that Iran is not to be trusted. It is a pariah state, and that they withhold the capability to attack them. And we know that Israel has over 250 nuclear weapons, although they don't admit it, but they have them, and they could use them. And my golly, if Israel were to strike Iran and try to destroy any of their nuclear facilities, as they did in Iraq years ago, it would set off a cataclysmic episode of conflict in the Middle East. And Iran is a nation of almost 100 million people, very modern, and they would not tolerate that. So they have the capability to strike in a very severe way, and Russia would get involved also, and some Saudi Arabia perhaps to support, and Egypt. So I just think it would be foolhardy to do that. I think we are close. We can't promise anything or predict favorably, but we are close to negotiating a final settlement with Iran on some sort of control over their nuclear activity. One must need to recognize, as you probably do, Tom, that Iran needs nuclear power in massive quantities in order to desalinate water. Iran is running out of fresh water. Seriously, they can't do it to give their people water, much less agriculture. So they need nuclear power plants to do that. And so they're going to insist, and we should recognize that as a humanitarian thing of necessity. But we could insist and must insist on some oversight over their nuclear capabilities so that they don't go up around 80% enrichment, which would enable them to build a nuclear weapon. So I think that we have to move with alacrity to get this agreement. and we shouldn't put any impediments. And that's why this foolhardy endeavor by Netanyahu to come back here at the invitation of Speaker Boehner and the majority leader in the Senate to speak to the Congress, bypassing the president, unprecedented kind of unconstitutional thing, which really could kill the negotiations with Iran.
All right, General Wickham, Tom called us on 790-2040. And, of course, General Wickham welcomes any questions about foreign affairs or, of course, the veteran situation. And I'm going to go back now to the veteran situation. We'll go back to foreign affairs in a moment. But there are a couple of positive things going on for our veterans. A bill that has passed the House and is moving through the Senate would throw more resources at trying to stem this terrible problem of our veterans coming back and committing suicide, many of them suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder, General Wickham.
That's right, Bill. Your homework is good. There's a lot of movement there, and I think the Congress recognizes, and the American people universally recognize the burdens that our veterans have shouldered, and we've got to take care of those that have been injured. There's some good news on the forefront. We have a serious problem in America, hospitals, with MRSA, this disease, an infectious disease that antibiotics are barely keeping up with. Guess what? Hmm. The Veterans Administration has almost eliminated it in their hospitals.
Really?
Because of some very clever and autocratic methods, perhaps. But I've got my daughter-in-law's experienced that. So, number two, the VA has recognized homeless problems with veterans. Rick Shinseki, the former head of the VA, said by the year 2015, we're going to get all homeless veterans off of the streets. Well, we're not there yet. But the VA medical complex in San Diego and Los Angeles area, the largest, some of the largest in the United States, and the largest homeless veterans, apparently, the one in L.A. has decided we're going to turn in an area about 200 to 300 acres that they've used for commercial purposes into building housing there that the veterans will live in and be treated. And they're going to do that promptly. They already started the construction. So I think it's a commendatory thing on the part of the Veterans Affairs leadership that they're moving with alacrity. We have one of the best VA centers in the United States here in Tucson, and it's because of the leadership there that has brought more and more resources into the VA complex. But it does illustrate that quality leadership can make a difference.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show Live Line, former Tucson mayoral candidate and generally all-around wonderful citizen. Rick Grinnell calling us on the Live Line has a question or comment for General Wickham. Go ahead, Rick. You're with the general.
Hi, Rick.
Well, good afternoon, gentlemen. Bill, I think you know I'm chairman or vice chairman of the Arizona Fisher House, which we're going to be building right here in Tucson, which is a home away from home for family members to support the veterans that are being treated, as well as some of our current military. And I just want to thank General Wickham for his support of all our veterans issues. And we are a very unique fraternity, if you will, from enlisted to officers that take a lot of pride in doing what we can to help our veterans. And I just want to say thank you to the General for his efforts.
Well, I want to thank you, Rick, and all your colleagues that have been doing these Fisher Houses around the United States. The American public probably does not understand what these are. These are facilities, home-like facilities, that have been built that enable families of veterans to stay there temporarily while the veteran is being cared for in a VA medical facility. And were not available, these families might have to live in towns or wherever, rural areas, and not very comfortable. So it's a wonderful outreach that organizations have been able to build, nonprofit Fisher Houses, and it's a commendatory thing. It's another illustration of outreach, caring for those who have cared for us in war. So I commend you and for building this facility or arranging the financing and all of that. in Tucson. It's going to lead to a tremendous boost in morale for veterans.
All right. Thank you, Rick. Thanks, Rick, for checking in with us. We're going to take our first break here, our first break during the interview with General Wickham, our last break of the show, but we will be back with General Wickham right after this, so stay with us.
Are you chemically sensitive? Worried about exposing your family and pets to chemicals sprayed around your home?
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control may be your answer. Our patented treatment process has been used on many chemically sensitive families' homes. Homeowner and pet interaction with the termite barrier is rare because it's held safely within the wall void. We won't treat the soil in the yard where your pets and children play.
Five-Star Termite and Pest Control, treating the termites' food, not the earth. 886-0045.
We're Five-Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
Today's rapidly changing world brings challenges and opportunities. At Pima Community College, we are working with business and community leaders to develop programs that provide the right training for today's high-demand jobs. Whether the goal is a new career, transferring to a four-year college, or lifelong learning, Pima Community College can help you open the door to new opportunities.
For more information, call 206-4500 or visit pima.edu.
Hey, honey, welcome home. How was your trip to L.A.?
Flying out of Tucson was the way to go. I got 3 whole days of FaceTime with the board, and they liked the fact that I saved the company time and money by flying out of TIA.
Oh, honey, that's great. Sounds like your career is really taking off.
You bet. With so many daily flights to L.A., I can get there in no time at all.
Flying from Tucson International Airport is convenient and cost-effective. Check out our cost comparison calculator at flytucson.com or text the word COMPARE to 51313. Fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Sunlink Streetcar, Sun Shuttle, Twin Peaks Interchange, Valencia Road, Houghton Road, Saharita Road, McGee Road. Just a few examples of projects funded through the Regional Transportation Authority. Since voter approval of the RTA plan in 2006, the RTA and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 570 projects to make our transportation network safer and less congested. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. Learn more at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amore's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amore is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion presented by the 16th Annual Chocolate Fantasia, which is coming up this Saturday from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. in historic downtown Silver City. Again, it is the 16th year of this deliciously delightful gourmet chocolate tasting event. So many great places to stay in Silver City, including Spirit Canyon Lodge and Wilderness Lodge and Agave Ridge Retreat. You can find out about the great places to stay in Silver City, which is only 3 hours east of Tucson, by visiting their great website, southwestnewmexico.org. General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army, and the former Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces, is on our Buckmaster Show live line. We are always honored to have him the first Monday of the month on the show with us. And speaking of Korea, are we making some progress in pursuing some new talks with North Korea, General Wickham?
I hope so, Bill. We're not there yet. We don't have any relations with North Korea. We're obviously close to the Chinese and working with them. But there is some good news. There's some indication from experts who have traveled into North Korea, and I read some of the results. There seems to be reports now that economic activity in North Korea, agriculture, and commercial activity is on the upswing, that farmers are able to sell their products in markets and save the resources. So that is an indication of a program that the Chinese have been trying to sell the North Koreans on for a number of years. And apparently the North Koreans have bought into it and are doing it, and there is some success. And that ought to lead to less famine in North Korea and a little more willingness on the part of the people to be supportive of the government, and also on the part of the government to recognize that there are responsible, reasonable ways to achieve goals in the future. But we're still not talking about any kind of modification of policies. The North Koreans, as we've talked in the past on your program, have at least 6 nuclear weapons and the makings of perhaps 6 to a dozen more. And they're going to continue to keep them. In my humble opinion, we are not going to be able to persuade the North Koreans to give them up. That's based on my knowledge and a lot of experts that have looked at it. Why? Because it is the saving grace for the North Koreans to prevent any kind of attack on them. And if you were in North Korea's shoes, I think you'd feel the same way. But that doesn't mean we can't achieve some results of modifying our policies. The South Korean president, whom I know, Park Geun-hye, a woman, excellent. She was the daughter of the former dictator of South Korea, Park Chung-hee. And she's seeking to develop close relations with North Korea. And Kim Jong-un, the North Korean dictator, has indicated he's willing to move in a direction of suspending nuclear activity or some tests in exchange for giving up the South's giving up some of these exercises we do where we reinforce forces and prepare for war. I think there's merit in doing that. When I was a commander over there, the neutral nation supervisory people came to me and said, you know, the Chinese are interested in some of your initiatives to open up exchange with the North Koreans. How can we push it further? So I think there is a possibility of some movement here, but it's going to take time.
And we do these annual military exercises with the U.S. reinforcements. You went through this when you were the commander over there.
That's right, Bill, and you can understand this. It's the same thing applicable in Europe. When we push troops every year into South Korea, Air Force sends a lot more aircraft over there, much more aerial activity. Marines are landing on the coast of South Korea. The North Koreans, you can understand, are frightened by that. They see this as preparing for war, even though we say no. Even though when I was there, I invited North Koreans to come and see what was going on. And that's why the Chinese were interested in that idea. How can we push it? So you can understand why the North Koreans are somewhat anxious. In Europe, for example, as we push NATO closer to Russian borders, the Russians are understandably frightened by that. They see closing in on them by forces that seem to be oriented towards attacking Russia or at least reducing Russia's influence and growth. I think we need to be more cautious about what we're doing with military exercises. It's good for readiness, but there are other ways of doing it than what we're doing.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040 for comments or questions for the general. There's more folks saying, some of the potential political candidates just today saying it's going to take boots on the ground in Syria. I take it you would disagree with that.
I totally disagree with it. I think that as Fareed Zakaria one of your journalist friends, one of the best, I think, in the United States, has said it was wrong when we did it in Vietnam and the original Iraq wars in Afghanistan, and it's wrong today. Why? It's wrong because, number one, we do not have the wisdom or experience to supplant what the problems that exist in the Middle East. And for us to think we can go over there and step aside, Middle Easterners, we'll show you what democracy is like, and we'll impose it on you, whether you like it or not, is wrong-headed. Number two, we don't have the resources that we thought we did. America is falling apart to a degree, or infrastructure. We used to be number one in the world in infrastructure. We're now 26 to 30. We need to rebuild our roads and our schools. We need to invest in America and not being investing overseas. But that doesn't mean we can stop some of this terrorism and we can continue to do what we're doing. I think the president's policies are sound and in the long run will prove useful. But there are conservatives who say we want to fight and fight and fight. Guess what? Some of the reason behind those conservatives comes from a defense industry that wants to continue to have more money coming into their coffers for profits. And so pushing the military button is pushing a button for defense industry. We need to be cautious about that. Yes, we need to keep a good military, the best in the world, and we need to keep a good industrial base. But we need to rebuild America, and we need to recognize that where we've been going in the past wars of counterinsurgency is wrong.
And we've had soldiers that did, what, 3 and 4 tours over in Afghanistan and Iraq?
Some more than that. You're exactly right. I saw some of that same sort of thing in Vietnam, people wanting to go back again and again and again. Why? Some of that was because they didn't have families at home. They didn't felt loved at home. But a lot of it came because people wanted to go back to Vietnam to get decorations and the increased money. So there's some of that. But I think also the tours, excessive number of tours, is because of wrong policy. The Army had a policy of 12-month tours. The Marines, to their credit, said, no, the tours are only going to be 6 months, and we're going to try to minimize that and grow the Marines so we don't have to put the burden back on them again and again and again. I think we need to be smarter about deployments in the future than the way we have been.
So this is an opportunity for us to really evaluate as these soldiers and airmen and Marines come back. We need to evaluate, when do we send troops overseas, don't we?
Amen. Amen, Bill. You put your finger on it. It's got to be a political decision based on wisdom and based on lessons of history in the past and based on knowledge of what the world is like. It's like Colin Powell and former Secretary of Defense Weinberger would say, we have to have a vision before we make a decision to commit troops, and we need to exploit all the other measures of diplomacy and economic activity first before we commit troops.
Of course, Colin Powell, in his biography, cites General Wickham as his really one of the most influential people in his life. And General Wickham, I know you're very proud of Colin Powell and
yes,
his accomplishments.
Yes, exactly right. I'm humbled. Really humbled by that. Colin was one of my brigade commanders when I commanded the 101st Airborne Division, and I think I played a role in Colin's rise up the chain, although he had the talent to do it. But I did help him, and I think it's important we had to help other minority officers grow. There are obstacles to that we've had in the past, and we still have some of them. Colin Powell is a national treasurer, and I'm proud to have been associated with him. He does refer to me in his books as one of his mentors, which means a great deal to me. And it's another illustration that good leaders can be mentors to those that follow if we do inspire them to carry out character-driven leadership. And we need more of that. We need more of that in our government, in civilian government, in corporate government, as well as in the military.
All right, General Wickham, always a pleasure. We're honored to have you on the program, sir. Thank you for your service, and we'll talk with you next month.
Just one comment, Bill. I think commend your sponsors for your wonderful program. They bring a program of enlightenment to the public, and I think the advertisements are cleverly done on your program and really spelled a future.
Thank you very much, sir. Have a great day. Thanks, General Wickham. Thank you, General Wickham, on the Buckmaster Show. A big shout-out to one of our sponsors. His name is Mike Emery and his team at Perfection Auto Works. They do such a great job with all the foreign and domestic auto needs. PerfectionAutoWorks.com. Check it out, Mike and the team. Mike Shaw at 4, Tucson at 4. Coming up, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 8 tomorrow morning. The Daily Double with Christy Simone. And then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with Ed Alexander at 12:04. Have a great afternoon and evening.
Intelligent Talk 24/7, AM 1030, KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. On the web at KVOI.com.
Thomason in Washington.